very much, Pastor. Certainly, opportunity to be here at Fellowship Baptist Church. There's something special about this place. I always enjoy the opportunity to be here and see folks, and you guys have certainly, from the times that we've been coming here, have made us feel very, very special here. We appreciate that, and thank the Lord. There are people in this church that I pray for every single day, and I've been praying a lot for Ellie as well, that God will certainly work, and I pray for your pastor and his wife, and it's always good to be able to see what God is doing here. And I'm glad to be here for a number of reasons. I'm just glad to be alive. Last time I was here, this is the only church meeting that I preached away from Crossroads since I was here in March. And I got a little concerned because last time I was here, Brother Thompson pretty much almost talked me into heaven. And I didn't know whether he was a prophet, because right after that I had all kinds of lab works, I had all kinds of issues, I had biopsies, I had all kinds of things going. I really, really got concerned. So I just found out he's not a prophet. God's still on the throne. And he seems to think that we fellows are getting a little older. He wants us to get our last time in. I don't know whether this will be the last time, but according to him, but at least I'm glad that he wasn't right about what he said last time. So it's always good to be here. Thank you so much for having us, and thank you for the friendship, fellowship. Before I forget, I tend to do that as I get a little older here. My son Kenny wanted me to tell you all hello and to tell you that he prays for you, appreciate you all so much. And Dave, he wanted me to mention to you that he loves you and to tell you hello as well. So thank you all for having us. And I'm glad that you all got a good start with Brother Edwards being here and the missionaries last night being here. I love being around missionaries. I've spent most of my 47 years as a Christian being around missionaries. I appreciate so much your missionaries, and we're blessed of God to have a good one. Thank you, Brother Leland. He preached for us Sunday night, and I enjoyed the message. Thank you so much. And he has just been a blessing to us. You know, sometimes when you, I like the visit, what he's talking about. You know, sometimes if you're predominantly black church, our church is mixed with predominantly black, you wonder. When I was growing up, I thought as a black man, the only place you could go to start a church would be among black people. Well, you know, God wants to use people around the world. He made us the way he made us, and he wants us to reach all people. And of course, I believe that. I believe the local church ought to reach all people, and we're mighty proud of him and what God has done. And I'm a firm believer that when you pray about missionaries and you ask God to give you special people, then you're not going to get any greater people than missionaries. You stop and think about what God does in their lives. I mean, he calls them out of a local church, and then he puts a burden on their heart, and they're willing to take their families, their babies, their children, to go someplace in the world and do what God has called all of us to do, and that is to present the gospel to get people saved. The older I get, and I've been around in the days that Leland was talking about, what they did in the old days and all the missionaries and all the things that we did. But, you know, we're in a time in life right now, we're learning that if God doesn't have you and we don't trust him, we're not going to get the job done. And people are experiencing something. Christianity is being tested. But there's a God in heaven who still loves the world, who still loves the local church. He still wants churches planted around the world. Nothing changes a community like a good, local, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. And God wants that all over the world. But he uses people, simply people who are saved by grace, to get a hold of what God puts in us and to burden us and challenge us to give it to people who've never heard about him. And that's what it's all about. So nothing has changed except that we ought to be doing what we should have been doing all along, depending upon God. We've had so many programs, and we program people and taught people and trained people to try to do something that only God can do in their lives. And I hope you'll open your heart up to God every time you come to the local church, every time you read your Bible, every time you pray. God's the same. He's a God in heaven, and he wants people to love him and love what he loves. And he loves lost sinners. That's why he died on the cross for us. And I hope that you'll keep having mission conferences and keep realizing that God wants to call people, and he's still reaching out in local churches and calling people and challenging them to be able to go around the world. And I trust that God will do a great work here this week. By the way, only two things we can do as people to really make missions what it ought to be. We ought to be willing to go. God still wants us to go. People have to go. He's not going to call animals to go, and he's not going to call other things to go. He still needs people. And then he needs us to give. We need to give. Most of us think that all we need to do is pray. No, we need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to give and continually pray that those who give and go can help the program be what it ought to be. Amen. Get involved in your faith promise this week. Do something you haven't done before. Don't let the pandemic scare us away from doing what we ought to be doing, because there's a God in heaven who knows how to use the people he's saved to get the work done. And I hope you'll pray this week that God will use the missionaries. I love testimonies, their presentation. I used to call them slide presentation. They said that's how you know we're old. We're old-fashioned when you start talking about slide presentation. They don't have those. My kids laugh at me all the time. But, I mean, they had this technology today. I mean, you got to almost ask your grandkids to show you how to use your phone, and which I do all the time, by the way. But thank you for having us, and I hope in some way God will certainly allow us to be a blessing. We had no intentions of missing this meeting if we were alive, and we are alive, and we thank God for the opportunity to be here. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter 29. I want to give you kind of a theme. I hope that you'll put in your heart and your mind and your prayer, starting all the way through Thursday. You're going to make some spiritual decisions in your giving and your praying and your going and all of that. And I trust that God will take this and use it tonight. Proverbs chapter 29, let's stand together, and I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to turn to a couple of other passages here tonight and see if we can get through this here in a timely manner, and appreciate a good crowd coming out here on Monday night. All right, Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's a lot in that verse. It talks about a vision. It talks about people. It talks about perishing. It talks about the law. Everything in this verse has a lot to do with what you're going to do for world evangelization. And I want to talk about that here for the next few moments. Where there is no vision, the people, that's us, we're people, perish, that's not a good word, but he that keepeth the law, thank God for the Bible, amen, happy is he. He could take a sad man, make him happy regardless of his circumstances if he keeps the word of God. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the missionary that we have here. I believe every church needs to have missionaries that you send, and you put a bond together, because missionaries who share their testimonies, share their lives, show us their presentation, they help form together all that is planned, all the preaching. It all goes together to make a missions conference what it ought to be. I thank you for the opportunity that Jeanette and I have once again to be at Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you for the pastor here. Thank you for Brother Thompson, the staff, all the wonderful people, the wonderful meal we had, the accommodations, the fellowship. People really make a difference in the local church. Thank you for putting some here that certainly have encouraged and been a blessing to us. Now, thank you for the opportunity we have with all that is going on, be able to be here once again at Fellowship Baptist Church. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to be a blessing for this local New Testament church. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Proverbs chapter 29, of course, is a very familiar. It's an often quoted, it's an often preached on verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I've seen this verse used as a theme in conferences. I've seen it posted over the doors when you walk out of a local New Testament church. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Oftentimes it is used as a theme to be able to challenge people to get involved in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a great way to be able to use this verse. It's very special to me because it's something God laid this verse on my heart many years ago. I've always tried my very best to be a Bible preacher. I believe that people ought to come to the local church to hear the Bible. They don't necessarily need opinions. They don't need somebody's philosophy. We need to hear what God has said, because only the Word of God is going to stir us and move us to do what we ought to do. And all I'm going to tell you something that I know biblically and I know by experience. We're going to get the job done today. The Word of God is going to have to get a hold of our hearts. It's going to have to set a fire in our hearts, get us to do something that, humanly speaking, we can't do. We don't have what it takes to get it done. Have you looked at this world today? Have you looked at us as people today? We need something more than we have been leaning on to get the job done. And the Word of God is still the answer. So I learned a long time ago, as a preacher, make sure you give the people something that you don't say, but something that God says from His Word. I remember a number of years ago, I was preaching on a Sunday morning. Don't you believe that you preach on the Sunday morning, you ought to preach the Bible? How many believe that if God lays something on your heart, I'm not a preacher who preaches at people. But I want people to know what God wants them to know. And I love Crossroads Baptist Church. And I remember this particular morning that I was preaching and I was burdened in my heart about some people that I saw and that I've been praying about. And I was preaching what I thought was a good, simple Bible-believing message, and I was trusting and praying and asking God, God, use this for this person. Use this for this person. Help this person. Help this family. Help this situation. I need these people to love the church, and these people got issues. As a pastor, you know a lot of things about people that you want God to do something in their life. I was preaching this hard as I could, and as simple. I'm a very simple preacher, so I don't have complicated messages. Very simple to be able to understand. And I was preaching. And then, of course, like any preacher, when you finish, you want people to respond. Well, this particular time, the people that I thought would respond didn't respond. I got concerned. Did I mess it up again? Did I not say it right? And I was driving down to the Atlantic Baptist Bible College. Legally, you remember that. I drive from Northern Virginia. And I was talking to the Lord. And I felt like I'd fail. I didn't get it right. Something didn't happen. And God laid this particular verse on my heart. Where there is no vision, the people, even the ones that I was preaching to at Crossroads Baptist Church, where there is no vision, the people perish. So I went back and did the best that I knew how to be able to study this verse and find out what this particular verse meant. And I found out that we understand this to mean that without a proper revelation or proper view of the Word of God, people like the ones I was preaching to will perish. Has nothing to do with whether they'll die and go to hell or die anything. What it literally is talking about is people will become ungovernable, unruly, disorderly. In other words, I can hear the Bible, as I hear all the time in good Bible-believing churches. I mean, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and we hear it all the time. But our problem is not that we don't hear the Bible. Our problem is that the Bible is not getting a hold of us. And I found out that I can hear the Bible preached, read it, quote it, memorize it, and still be slothful, selfish, stingy, uncaring, like we see all the time among people. And I want you to challenge you here with this thought. God, give me a vision. How many has been in several mission conferences here at this church? Lots of people. I think any good Bible-believing church needs to have a missions conference. We have a missions conference and a missions emphasis. We've done that for years and years. Dr. Don Sis has been in our church for some 36 years. And I mean, we want people. We believe the heartbeat of the local church is missions. We believe that we ought to be getting the gospel around the world. So every time we have the mission conference come, we have it preached and taught. We have faith promise. I mean, we have it all. We know the mission of the church. We know everything about it. And yet, no matter how hard it's preached, no matter how it's taught, we still have too many men, women, boys, and girls who never seem to get it. What is the problem? I believe the problem is they don't have a vision. There is no vision. There is no proper view. What I've heard hadn't gotten a hold of my heart. It hadn't moved me or motivated me or stirred me or did something in my life that helped me to realize I'm among the people that God wants to use to reach the world. Where there is no vision, people like us will perish, will become unruly, without restraint. No matter what I hear, it doesn't move me enough to know that it's talking about me. It's talking about me. So I want to talk to you just a few moments about where there is no vision. Without a proper vision, a proper view. This is not turned on. All of that hard preaching to get this. Just about wore me out before I got started. And it's not even recorded. I couldn't repeat that no matter how I tried. God, give me a vision. Give me something. I want something that's going to move me, motivate me, stir me. Without a vision, without a proper view of what the Bible says about missions, we're going to continue to have few missionaries on the field. We're going to continue to have less money to given that people may go. We're going to continue to have people who don't labor in prayer that the world may be reached. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, in the Bible times, God used men that he gave visions. And if you were to go back and study the prophets, when a prophet had a vision, when he had a proper view or a proper revelation or a proper understanding of that vision, it changed his life. It moved him. It stirred him. It caused him to do something
That was important. God gave men those visions. Now today, we don't have those kind of visions. I made sure when I was eating that meatloaf, I skipped the potatoes, and I skipped the gravy because I tend to dream at night. And I didn't want to go home, get in that hotel, away from my bed, and that meatloaf made me have a vision. I've had some of those. And every once in a while you have one. Most of them are not good. So I didn't want that kind of vision. So I'm not talking about you having a vision where all of a sudden you see some dream. I was talking to a couple of older ladies the other day, and they were telling me about their experience, their salvation experience. I got a little word, you know, sometimes when you hear things about these visions and these things happening. I'm not talking about that, okay? Bad food will make you do that, and a few other things will make you do that. I'm not talking about that kind of vision. I'm talking about a vision of the Word of God that will make you be what you need to be for God. But he gave those prophets. So very quickly, I'm going to look at three prophets in the Bible that God gave a vision. And I want you to look at how it changed their life. And then I want you to look at a vision, a proper view of the Bible and what it says about missions. And I guarantee you this, it'll change your life. The first one I want you to see is Isaiah chapter number 6, which is probably the very key one, important one. By the way, the time that I wasn't recorded, we're not counting that time. So you're going to have to add this on to the rest of the message, all right? That's not recorded, okay? Where there is no vision, let's understand what it means. Where there is no proper view, proper revelation of the Word of God and what it says and means about missions, I can never be what I need to be for God. And we want to take these visions that these prophets had, and I want us to look at the Word of God and draw the principle from the Word of God, how it applies to our life from what God says. Isaiah chapter number 6, very quickly. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Verse number 8, another well-quoted verse, a well-preached-on verse, a very familiar verse, a life verse. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now listen to me very carefully. Before Isaiah, the great prophet, could respond to God and say, Here am I, send me. Verses 1 through 7, this great prophet had a vision. He had a vision. He saw something in his relationship between him and God that needed to be worked out, understood, a proper view, a revelation of his relationship with God that he needed to fix before he could say, "Here am I, send me." Now here's the first vision every Christian, every church person ought to have when it comes to missions. A vision of self. Me, one of those people, a vision of self and its relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I be what I need to be in the most important thing that God's ever given us to do if my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not where it need to be? I'm not talking about anybody. I'm not even talking about one of the minor prophets. I'm talking about one of the major prophets. Oh, he had a lot of respect for the king, and he saw a lot of things about the king. But all of a sudden, he took a look at God, and he saw some things about himself. Now, let's look at that vision for a moment. He said he became conscious of God's position. In other words, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He began to look up at the throne and he saw God high and lifted up. All of a sudden, for one time, it came to his mind, what am I about to do? What am I involved in? It's not the king that's got me doing this. It's God Almighty. When the last time, as a preacher, as a missionary, as a Christian, doing something in the service for God that you realize I'm doing it for someone who is high, lifted up? How many of the angels were humbled by him? They were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Have you ever wondered maybe what we really need in 2023 and in this troubled world? We need sinners who've been saved by grace to all of a sudden be conscious of his position. He's high and lifted up. If the angels are humble, I should be humble enough to be able to see him. And you know what Isaiah, when he looked at God, you know all he could say was, "Wow. Wow! Look at God. Look at the one I'm serving. Look at the one who's calling. Look at the one I ought to be giving to honor. Look at the one who saved my soul." Every day of our lives, we ought to be conscious of the God that we serve. He's where he's always been and always will be, high and lifted up, and he ought to be honored and respected. And all we ought to say is, "Wow, look at God." And reverence that position and say, "It's an honor that he would take a sinner like me and want me and give me the opportunity to serve him. I should have been in hell. Going to heaven would have been enough. But God says there's a world that I love. And I'm going to use sinners saved by grace to get the job done. And I want them to always look up at me. And all you can say is, 'Wow, Wow. Look at God. It goes on and says in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. Once he was conscious of God's position, took a look at him, all he could say was, wow. But then all of a sudden he saw something about himself. And you know what he said? Whoa. I'm a mess. There's no way a holy God can use me where I am. You ever been wild enough about God to be wild enough about yourself to say, I've got some issues, I've got some problems? I mean, this God who loved the world and sent his son to die and shed his blood for my sin, this God has never changed. He's still high and lifted up. He's still holy, but he wants to use me. But when I look at him, I say, wow. When I look at me, all I can say is, whoa, I'm a mess. In verses 6 and 7, after he was condemned of his guilt, he began to confess his sins. And we see, he says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He wasn't looking at Uzziah anymore. Wasn't looking at other prophets anymore. Wasn't looking at anybody else. He looked at God. And by the way, let me throw this in. You can always find somebody that's worse off than you. You can always elevate yourself above somebody else. You're doing more than somebody else. But when you look at him, you're going to always say, whoa, 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 look at me. I need something, Isaiah said. This God that the angels bow down to, I need something. You see the picture where he takes the coals, puts on his lips, a picture of forgiveness. And then, after being conscious of his position and convicted of man's predicament, he needed to be cleansed of all those things was hindering him from being used by God. And then only was he commissioned to be able to perform what God said. So he said, wow, look at God. Whoa, look at me. I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. I'm not in a position to do this. When God cleansed him up, then he went from wow to woe and say, well, here am I, send me. I wonder if maybe one of the problems is we don't have enough people that are wild enough about him to be woe about themselves that they can get cleaned up and say, well, here am I. Here am I. Isaiah had a vision of his relationship with the Lord. I believe today with all of my heart, we need men, women, boys, and girls to know what is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I a candidate? Could I be a missionary? It has nothing to do with your training, your background, the family. It has to do with what is my position with the Lord. Can I be used? God, give me a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to turn over, if you would, to the book of Acts. We'll hit these very quickly. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 10. The great Apostle Paul had a vision. And he had a proper view of that vision and what it meant. If you notice in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. I need a vision of self and its relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question. I need that in my life. But when it comes to missions, Paul had a vision that changed his life. And in this vision, several things happened. First of all, you notice in verse 5, he had a proper view of what he saw. And here's what happened. First of all, he got saved God's way. Hey, it's good to understand when you read the Bible to get saved God's way. Bible salvation is the only salvation that really matters. I need a proper view of the Bible. If I read Romans, the book of Romans, the Romans Road, I need a proper view of what it means. I need to know what it means to be a sinner. I need to know that it died for me. I need to know that for putting the faith. I need a proper view of that. Paul got saved God's way. Verse number 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The second thing ought to happen after I get saved God's way, Paul surrendered to God's word. Hey, that'll work. If I have a proper view of the word of God that gets me saved, ought to have a proper view, that ought to surrender to the word. Verse number 11, we find Paul. He sought God's will. He prayeth, God, now that I'm saved, I got a proper view of salvation. I'm saved. I'm surrendering to the word. God, I'm seeking your will. What is it that you want me to do? He got baptized all of a sudden, saved, surrendered, and then he started seeking the will of God. Later on, you find he became a witness and started working in the local New Testament church, and that he spent his whole ministry dedicated to the local New Testament church. Let me sum this up very quickly when it comes to missions. If I have a proper view of the Word of God and missions, I need a vision of my service to God through His organism called the local church. Oh, we had the church is not just a fellowship place. The church is just not something where I come and plug in. You know what I believe? I believe every time you walk into the church, the Bible is open, and then you get a vision of what you do. The preaching of the Word of God ought to mend your heart. Once you get mended, you ought to start ministering to somebody else, witnessing, telling them about Jesus Christ. And it's amazing when you start winning somebody to Christ, you feel responsible. You start maturing to get the answer to the next questions they're going to ask you. So I need a proper view of what this local church is. Let me tell you what the church is. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. You want to know where the truth is? It's the local New Testament church. The local New Testament church is the program of God. That's God's program. That's God's organism. It's not an organization. It's an organism. Here's something I like about the church. The church, not the government, not the job, not your club you're a part of. The church is a place where Jesus is always preeminent. It's the leveling ground. Everybody, the homeless, the computer operator, the doctor, the lawyer, we can all sit in one organization. The blacks, the whites, the Koreans, the Spanish, everybody. And all of a sudden, we're not looking at each other because all the preeminence is on him. If that's not enough to make me have a vision of my service to the local church, it's the program of God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the place where he's preeminent. But it was purchased with his own blood. So God, if you've given me time, use it in the church. You've given me talent, use it in the church. You've given me treasure, use it in the church. And give me with my selfish belief and stubbornness and sometimes sinful activities. Time is the work of God. Give me enough of a vision to help me understand. It's a privilege. To be a part of a good local Bible-believing church and to be a part of one that believe in missions to get the gospel around the world and church planning and bringing in missionaries, bringing in speakers, teaching us what we ought to do. God, I would be ashamed not to give it my very best. Oh, nothing. Nothing should be more important to me. If I have a talent, I'm going to sing in the church and not the nightclub. I'm not going to work for Caesar and not work for Christ. I'm not going to give to everything else and not give to his work. Give me a vision of my own service through this organism called the local church. Paul had another vision very quickly, Acts chapter 16. I need a vision of self in its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision of service through the local church. I need to serve in God's work. Give it my time, give it my talent, give it my treasure. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. I need a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord. I need a vision of my service through my local church. But people who are perishing, people who are not giving, people who are not going, people who are not praying the altar, here's a vision we need to have, a proper view of lost souls and their condition without Christ. I wonder sometimes if we really believe that the people we're trying to get the gospel to, if we don't, they die and go to hell. I wonder if we really, really believe when I read in Luke's about the rich man and Lazarus, when I read about hell, when I read about all the things in the King James Bible that I read about the lost souls of mankind, I wonder, do I have a proper vision, a proper revelation, a proper view that I see that'll make the difference in my life? Paul knew in that vision that lost people were calling. Oh, would to God that we see that the neighbors are calling, the communities are calling, people all around the world are calling. Do we see it? He knew that the lost were calling, and he knew that the Lord had commanded. He said, immediately we endeavored to go. Oh, come over and help us, Paul. He understood that once he got saved and surrendered, saw God's will, he was involved in the local New Testament church. I've preached here before and preached hundreds of times on the mission of the church. Paul understood that. Would to God to have a vision to understand missions is a mandate from the church. Missions is something that God has mandated every saved person to be involved in. That's my ministry here at Fellowship Baptist Church. When you walk out of those doors, you're involved in a ministry of winning souls, getting them baptized, teaching them to serve right here in Fellowship Baptist Church. That way, God can then motivate and stir them to go around the world to reach others with the gospel. Give me a proper view of that. Help me to understand I have a responsibility. And Paul said, immediately we endeavored to go. Oh, would to God that we understood that people we looked at, it's not where they came from, where they work, what's the backgrounds like, is whether they're saved or lost. Paul had that kind of a vision. This week, we're going to be having another mission conference. Which one is this? Which conference over the years, the number? Where's Prophet Thompson? What conference is this? How many? I'm sorry? 12? Yes. A lot of conferences, huh? 15 years. You must think it's important, right? It must be important to have a conference every year. I believe this church loves missions. And we need to understand, we need to understand that we have a God-given responsibility to get this. You know, this thing about missions, and I've been in conferences where there was a handful and several thousands and every size in between. I've never understood why it is so difficult for us to understand as saved people. God wants to use us in his work. He didn't have to. He didn't have to use us to be able to get the job done. But he wants us to love him, love what he loves, and that's the souls of mankind. I believe without a doubt, we need a vision. And let's go back to Proverbs, where it says, where there is no vision. Let's stop. Where there is no proper view, proper revelation of the Word of God, people. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm in the category of people. Believe that? Okay. So we're talking to people. People. That's folks like us. All walks of life, young and old, perish. We become without restraint, ungovernable, out of control. We can be selfish, stubborn, and here's a good S, stingy when it comes to that which is so important. But if I get a vision, if I get a proper view of where this person who was once a sinner has now been saved by the grace of God, who I'm serving, and take a look at him, all I can say is, wow, look at him. Whoa, look at me. God, clean me up so I can say, well, here am I. Once I do that, give me a proper view now that I'm saved. I'll surrender. I'll be searching to find out what the will of God is for my life. And then I'm going to serve. And you mark it down. I've got a clear enough vision to where I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my talent. I'm going to give my treasure to help get the gospel around the world. Because I also saw that sinners who are lost end up in a place called hell if they don't get this gospel that the Lord has commanded his church to give out to reach the lost and dying world. He gave the program to the church as a command to do. May God help us to have a vision that we don't perish, to get the job done for the glory of God. I want you to think about that all week long. Where there is no vision, the people perish, and understand God's talking to his people to get the job done. Let's bow our heads in prayer.